Hi there, welcome to Victim to Victor, the podcast dedicated to empowering abuse survivors and inspiring healing, hope and positive change. I'm Anu Verma, a published author, and in every episode I'll sit down with a guest and embark on an insightful conversation about trauma as well as practical strategies to start the healing process. So let's get started. I hope you enjoy the show. And hello again, everybody. And with me today, I have Dr. Sangeeta Sahi back. Myself and Dr. Sangeeta have recorded a four-part series on trauma. So if you haven't listened to any of those episodes, then I do advise you to go ahead and we will be adding the links to this episode. So in today's episode, we're going to be discussing what's been going on, you know, with the Ukrainian and Russia war. There's fear again. There's fear on our planet yet again. And it's another episode and it's creating so much fear. I'm seeing it all on social media. So, Dr. Sangeeta, tell me your thoughts about this.
Well, thank you, Anu, for having me back on the Victim to Victor podcast. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and to share my insights, my experiences and knowledge with your listeners. So thank you for your time and for their time. Okay. This is an incredible time because we just sort of getting over and managing COVID. We haven't even gotten past COVID yet. And suddenly we just jumped into and literally, you know, confronted with war. What are my thoughts? A lot of people, a lot of my patients and my clients have been asking me what I think of this and how do I deal with this, especially as I'm constantly advocating peace. I'm constantly advocating stillness. I'm constantly advocating these tools to de-stress, to keep balance and harmony within the physical body as well as in our environments. So my thoughts on this are actually, they're a point of view and they're really based on my own knowledge and my studies and my experience. Mm-hmm. Our planet is a biocomputer. And in this biocomputer is held all the data and all the information of our planet's history, as well as our collective human history. Okay. Now, you have to remember that the planet is much, much older than humans' existence on the planet. Mm-hmm. And even if we are wiped out or we disappear, the planet will continue.
Yeah.
So she's like a biocomputer of everything that's gone on, everything that is happening now, and everything that will happen. So one of the things that is definitely going on, and I've talked to quite a few astrologers about this too, and astrology is a paradigm. It's a structure which is based on astronomy, which is the study of planets and celestial bodies. Yeah. A scientific study, and astrology is a structure through which some of that knowledge can come through and show how those forces, those influences affect us on planet Earth and how they affect the planet. So one of the things that's been going on, and it's been very clear, is things, events, historically, that had occurred previously in another cycle. They could have been 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, or even older, mm-hmm. have come up again to be addressed. So it's like planetary trauma. It's like the planet holds history within it.
Yeah.
And it's the history of our civilizations as well. So whatever has gone on in terms of events in our civilization's history, so in this case, it could be Russia and Ukraine, or whatever has gone on around those neighboring satellite countries, that has come up to be looked at, to be resolved, just like we do when we talk about individual trauma. We look at our own personal history, our own individual history, and we see all the stuff that comes up and we say, okay, we need to resolve this. We need to address this. We need tools. We need support to deal with this. And if you think about it, and we have spoken about this in our previous talks as well and podcasts, that we need to get to a space where we can look at things objectively and not with emotionally filtered glasses, emotionally tinted glasses, because emotions will not give us the real picture. And if we don't have the real picture, then we do not know what to do in those situations. We don't know how to address things effectively. Because then we are in a space of reaction rather than true response.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I mentioned to you in our previous podcast as well that these things were going to keep happening. Things are going to keep coming up. They're not just going to, you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory. I don't think it's ever been hunky-dory.
No.
It's just that we haven't had the consciousness or the awareness as we do now to be able to see all this stuff coming up.
Yeah.
And look at it and say, okay, this is here. Now what can I do about it if I need to do something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I look at what's going on, I don't get involved in, is it right? Is it wrong? Should it be happening? Should it not be happening? Who's to blame? Because then all you do is you go into the blame game. And people come to me and say, but how can you not do that? How can you not stand up for the underdog or whatever? Well, there are always not just two sides to a story, but many sides to a story.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. I don't have the sides. I don't have all the information and data of what's actually happened in the past and what's happened today. And I don't think there are very few people who do. So who am I? If I do not have that type of knowledge or data, who am I to judge who's right, who's wrong? And I think that's what we've really got to, for me at least, take away from this, is stop the judgment. Go into a space of neutrality. Stop constantly forcing yourself to be in a position to take sides. Because as soon as you go into the side of this is right, then you go into the side of this is wrong automatically. And you go back into duality. And duality, as the ancients, sages, the psychologists today, the therapists, everybody is, duality is suffering.
Yeah.
Because duality is blame.
Okay. Wow.
And if we are truly going to move forward into being human and getting into a context of humanity-founded solutions, humanity-founded progress, advances, we must get out of duality and we must get out of the judgment and the blame game.
Yeah, that's so difficult to do though with media coverage that we see, and now with social media, everyone's got an opinion and it's just so easy to take sides.
I agree with you, and that is why a lot of people that I work with, at least they, including myself, we don't really watch the news.
That's good. Yeah.
And it's not because we are burying our head in the sand. Mm-hmm. It's because we are using the choices that we have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got choices. What do we want to? Again, we come back to the same thing. You know, the stimuli from the environment, the external stimuli. Mm-hmm. What are you going to engage with? What do you choose to engage with and what do you not? Are you going to constantly open your front door to negative stimuli? and therefore have to constantly filter it out and use up so much time and energy and emotions to filter it out and to assess what is right and what is wrong? Or do you just back off and say, well, you know what? It is what it is, because it is what it is.
It is, yeah, yeah.
So how am I, as an individual, going to deal with this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a good question. And also, what would be your response? So let's just say it brought up around your family table or, you know, with your friends. What would be your response? Because it's so easy, because we're trying to fit into our peer groups, it's so easy to just follow everyone else and take sides.
That is exactly my point, though, Anu. It's not a question of saying that we have to sit passively and do nothing. No, I'm not saying that. Mm. I'm saying that whatever actions we take, they should come, or preferably come, from a space of intuition, of knowing, of real compassion,
yeah,
rather than a state of unknown unconsciousness
and blame. Yeah,
exactly.
Judgment.
They should not be coming from a space of judgment.
No,
but more from a space of, you know what, there is war and people need help and support during a war.
Okay.
I'm willing to give it, but I'm willing to give it without judgment, without judging who's right, who's wrong. Because you've got the Russians on one side, they're humans too. You've got the Ukrainians on the other side, and I'm sure they're not all good, perfect people either.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Every one of us, every country, everything on this planet has got karma, has got baggage from the past that we are cleaning out. We're offloading it, we're resolving it, we're working through it. Mm-hmm. And so do countries and communities, and so does the planet. Mm-hmm. Because remember, if the planet has held this type of conflict, that's trauma for her. And if the planet is cleaning out her baggage, then of course it's going to affect the communities,
mm-hmm,
that,
yeah,
have been part of that.
For sure, absolutely, yeah. And it's bizarre because now you're seeing all the charities which are collecting for Ukraine. Yeah. So, and again, it's just so easy for us as humans, you know, we're empaths. Well, most of us are empaths. It's so easy for us to just fall into that category of, we need to help Ukraine. They're the victims.
Exactly. And the second point I really want to make as well is that I think it's wonderful that these charities are responding, and they responded so quickly. And charities allow a space for us to show and take action for our own compassion.
Yeah.
And to be able to show that, okay, you know what? We acknowledge this situation, and we acknowledge that we want to support the peace. We want to support constructive solutions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if I would really, because we do get into this a lot, if you are donating to a charity and you're doing it with compassion, with a real sense of intention of really wanting to help and support, then don't go into the space of, where is my money going?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, that's not your responsibility. That's the responsibility of the charity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can definitely be more aware of who you choose to support, but don't go into that whole analysis and judgment, because then you're just going again into a cycle of judgment all over again. Mm-hmm. And that beautiful intention that you had of just, you know, giving a donation and helping, then just, you know, you just, that evaporates, dissolves.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Okay. No, I love that. So
one of the things that I also wanted to mention, which is really important, there is a very powerful sort of slogan, which is peace in the home, peace in the planet, peace in the universe.
Okay.
So peace in the home, peace starts from us. And again, whatever is going on externally is also a reflection on the bigger global level of what's going on within us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know, statistics, science has shown that we are all actually connected, whether it's through 6 degrees of connection or whether it's through 2 degrees of connection, whatever it is, mm-hmm. we're all connected. And there's proof here. Something has happened in Russia and Ukraine, and we are all feeling it globally.
Mm-hmm.
So we're connected. That's a very powerful space because it says, okay, you know you're connected. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Mm.
And for people who do not have the means to support, whether it's materially or emotionally or whatever, they can at least look within themselves and within their intimate and environments, families, nuclear environments,
mm.
and they can see, is there peace here?
Yeah.
Is there peace here? Is there peace within me? What is this bringing up for me? Why do I feel so drawn into this?
Mm, absolutely. Yeah.
Do I feel like an underdog? Is that why I feel like I really want to support Ukraine? Do I feel like a victim? Do I feel that there is a big power
mm.
or something bigger than me that is bullying me?
Yeah.
Or have I somehow on some level even provoked this bullying?
Okay.
Because like I said, we know this, Anu. It takes two hands to clap.
Yeah.
And it takes more. I mean, isn't that the whole journey of going from victim to victory?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Is to be able to see that, am I, you know, what's it bringing up for me? Why do I feel like the victim, if I feel like the victim? And if I want to feel powerful by doing something, what is that bringing up in me?
Yeah, yeah.
And how does any of this dynamic maybe play out in my family, in my home? Because I think one of the things that we do as human beings is whatever is happening within our own selves and environments, we blindside ourselves to that and start focusing on what's happening on the outside.
Yeah.
So that we don't actually have to look inside.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can vouch for that. And you can tell the people who are really bothered by it, the ones who write posts about it, it just makes you think, wow, they're really bothered by this. I wonder what might be going on internally in their lives.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's that. And the other things are obviously, you know, the planetary trauma. I feel very, very committed and very compelled to support our planet through this too, because we always forget her.
Yeah, we do.
And we forget that actually, you know, if we connect with her and support her, we will automatically create structures that will support human beings. And I think that's the other part of this process that we really need to look at, is what are the new structures that we're going to create once this war is over?
True, yeah.
You know, are we going to play out the same history and the same data and the same patterns
mm.
as we've done before, which have led to these wars?
Yeah.
Or are we now wiser, more mature, and in a space to create structures which are going to be cooperative. And that's where, for me, supporting and being in harmony and alignment with the planet is so valuable, because the planet, nature, does not create structures which kill. It creates structures which cooperate, which collaborate, which enhance evolution. So even if there is death within nature, there is regeneration. So I would really encourage your listeners and anybody who is listening to this podcast, please have a look at not only what is this bringing up, but how can we, within our own families, within our own homes, we don't even have to, you know, do some huge mission or some huge purpose, just within our own environments, how can we create structures that will create more harmony, more equality, less victims, less underdogs, that will create growth, that will create peace. I mean, peace, people also have a kind of, I think, they don't really understand peace. They always think of peace as something very passive. And you just have to be quiet and you do nothing. That's not what peace is. Peace has got many, many, many layers. And the first layer is definitely being quiet. So that you can actually see the real picture come out. Rather than getting involved in all the emotions.
Chaos.
Exactly. The chaos. Because the chaos and the movement is the change. And it's the transition. It will pass. It's not permanent.
No. Well, it's not. I mean, like you said, we haven't even got over COVID. And prior to that was Brexit. Everybody was stressed out about Brexit.
Exactly.
It's just ongoing sequence of events. I suppose a lot of people feel like they haven't had peace in their lives.
And I think that's even more reason to have to create that peace within yourself. The Buddha, Lord Buddha, this is from the Buddhist teachings. He said, whatever is going on externally is going to continue to go on. Behind the veil, this is all a sort of theater. It's a play, it's a drama, whatever is going on. And behind the scenes, there's something else going on. And if we can really focus on connecting with what's going on behind the scenes rather than with all the drama in the front, that's when we get out of suffering. That's when we get out of victimhood. That's when we get out of this state of non-peace, or that's when we get out of violence. Violent language, violent thoughts, violent emotions. And that's when we actually separate ourselves from trauma. That's the space of, and the only way to do that is to connect with what's inner, which is more real than what's outer. Outer is like a movie that's constantly happening. And at this time on the planet, it just may be not a very peaceful or pleasant movie.
And so I know that you're into Bell's theorem, if you want to explain.
I worked with a lot of quantum physicists, and I loved quantum physics because it was kind of, at that time anyway, the nearest which is still very far away, but the nearest sort of models for spirituality and spiritual teachings. So I'm quite a science person. I'm a medical doctor and a science boffin. So I worked with a lot of quantum physicists, and one of the major breakthrough pioneers was James Stewart Bell. He's an Irish physicist, and he basically said, this is very general summary that I'm giving you. He basically said that quantum physics was very different from linear Cartesian physics that we learn at school. And within the realm of quantum physics, if you accepted the realm of quantum physics, you would accept, and he proved theoretically, of the non-locality. Non-locality, what does that mean? That means actually what we're experiencing right now, which is that an event which occurs in one place and time can have an effect in another space and time. So a butterfly flapping its wings in Brazil can affect a tornado in Australia.
Okay. Oh.
And beyond that, because quantum physics is multidimensional, so it goes beyond our third and fourth dimension of time. Events that happened in the past can affect events in the present, which is what I mean about history repeating itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a very good friend of mine. He's a Jewish rabbi in London, and he's very, very well read. And the Jewish texts go into a lot of the history of human beings on the planet and what we've done as well. So as do the indigenous people. They have archives. They know of what's gone on with human history. And in the Talmud, this friend of mine, he told me, he said it was already written that this would happen. This had happened before, 1600 years ago maybe, and they'd given it the name Corona as well. It's written in the Talmud.
Wow.
So it's happened before. Yeah. And I asked him, I said, well, if it's happened before and they already know that it may happen again because of the repetition of the cycles, mm-hmm. then have they given us some remedies for it? You know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And he said, well, that's the whole trick, is in order to evolve, human beings will have to find new remedies based on the time that they live in.
Okay.
So that happened then, but it's still embedded in the planet's consciousness.
Mm.
So it comes up to be looked at, addressed,
mm-hmm.
and see how it can be resolved and remedied in a different way at this time. So we have to remember that maybe, it's not maybe, I mean, we have a lot of planetary influences now, such as Pluto and Uranus, and they bring up a lot of this stuff that happened in previous cycles to be addressed. So I think if we look at that perspective, then we won't get so personally sucked in. And when we don't get so personally sucked in, we can be of much better use and much better support, and much we can contribute in a much more effective manner to the whole, to whatever is going on, rather than through anger and resentment and, you know, all of that, which I know exists and it's there. Mm. And by all means, let it out.
Yeah.
But don't let it drive you.
No.
Because you're just going to create more trauma. You're not going to, and you will be the one creating trauma for yourself and your loved ones.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. Wow. And so we are going to be ending with a short meditation as well, which I'm excited about. And so, yeah, this meditation is for peace in the home.
Peace in the home, peace in your body. So it's a very short meditation. It's just for you, for everybody to get into a space and get a feeling of non-duality, of that space of stillness, that space where of non-reactivity. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the easiest way to do that, the reason why most meditators and most meditation facilitators, they ask you to close your eyes is because you can disconnect from what's happening outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the reason. Because and people who are not comfortable with closing their eyes, that's fine too. There's no rigid rules with meditation. It's about your own comfort level.
Yeah.
And the main thing is to put your attention and focus into something that is not war, that is not conflict, that is not trauma. So I request everybody to close your eyes, sit in an absolutely relaxed space, position, whether you're sitting down, whether you're cross-legged, whether you're lying down. Just be comfortable. These few minutes are only about you and yourself and nothing more. Take a deep, long breath through your nose, deep, deep through your lungs, your chest, right down into your abdomen. And peacefully breathe out as slowly as you possibly can. Take another long, deep breath from your nose as far as you can reach into your abdomen and release as slowly as possible. Take a third deep, long breath in through your nose, into your abdomen. And as you breathe out, feel or sense this wonderful breath of oxygen and nutrition feeding every part of your body and your cells and going up to your brain, and to your heart, and to your legs, and your feet, and your hands, and your arms, and your face. Sense and feel the clarity of that breath. Breathe in again. And this time, as you breathe in, focus your attention on your heart area. As you focus your attention on your heart, give permission for your mind and your body to be still, to be quiet. To be silent. allow this to happen. Allow this stillness, this silence, to connect with everyone in your family and in your communities. Allow this silence to come from an intention of peace, of neutrality, of gratitude, of compassion, of kindness, of understanding, and of love. Allow this wonderful energy and these intentions to find their way back to you. Take a deep breath in. Come back into your body, into your mind, and into your physical space. And whenever you're ready, open your eyes.
I went on a journey then.
Where did you go?
You were. I was like, flying her ass.
Was it somewhere nice?
Yeah, just the beach and then like the green fields and then the mountains. Just that's what happens on my meditations. And I know that I got that idea from you about your imagination going wild. And I'm one of them where I find it hard to be still. Like my brain needs to go somewhere.
But you see, that's it though. You connected with nature.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why do we do that? We do that because she's unconditional love and peace.
Yeah. You're so
That has been scientifically verified through all sorts of machines and technologies. It's not just that we feel it, it's real.
Yeah.
That's why the more we support the planet, the more she supports us and our well-being. Yeah. And there you go. There's the proof.
Proof is in the pudding, yeah. And I wonder where whoever does this meditation, I wonder where they go. It's something to look out for.
It would be lovely to get some feedback from your listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. It would. So listeners, please do feedback. Where did you go? Where did this meditation take you? Wow. It'd
be amazing. And honestly, if your listeners need help with trauma issues, please do not hesitate to contact me through my website, www.genuinehumanbeing.com.
Okay. Oh, perfect. And I will be adding the link at the bottom. And I suppose my listeners can also follow you on the social channels.
Absolutely. On Instagram, Genuine Human Being,
yeah.
And on LinkedIn.
Okay, brilliant.
And on Facebook. But my Facebook is Dr. Sangeeta Sahi.
Brilliant. And again, I can add the links in.
Brilliant. Wow,
thank you so much. That's been amazing. It's been an awakening. And I just think you just hit home on some real important points there. that we have to be proactive and not reactive. Don't listen to everything that we see or hear. Make your own.
Definitely not.
No. Oh my God. Make your own analysis on situations and stop taking sides.
Yeah. Exactly. Brilliant. If that's the message that I'd like people to take away, is it's a blame game at the end of the day, whoever you support, because we've got humans on both sides.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And they're probably, you know, they're probably exactly like each other. I mean, they're next door neighbors.
I know. And I just think as I'm in Russia, you know, they saved us in World War II.
That's gratitude. My point.
Yeah.
I think gratitude, honestly, Anu, you've hit home a very important thing. And gratitude is something, maybe we can do another podcast about it. Because gratitude is the essence of existence. It's not something that is just for prayer or churches. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that we exist, the fact that this creation exists. Yeah. We are in gratitude for that.
Mm. Wow, it's so true. Oh wow, okay. So we will, and I think it'll be nice to do a gratitude meditation as well next time.
That'd be lovely. Absolutely lovely. Go.
Already planned.
Great. Oh,
thank you so much again for coming on for our fifth episode.
It's always a pleasure and a joy. It's lovely. Thank you, Anu, for doing the work that you do, for being who you are. And thank you, and your listeners, for listening in. Without them, this wouldn't be happening.
It wouldn't, would it? Absolutely. So please do get in touch, my dear friends. We love you. And stay tuned for the next episode. And until then,
peace, be in peace.
Love it, yeah. Just, stay safe and meditate. Meditation is great. All right, we love you, everyone. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Victim to Victor. Subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes. And be sure to follow the podcast on socials to keep updated on what's next. And share Victim to Victor with family and friends to help grow the community and spread the positive healing energy.